At every Mass, in what is called the preface of the Eucharistic prayer, the priest exhorts the congregation, "Lift up your hearts," to which you respond, "We lift them up to the Lord." But these aren't meaningless words, or they shouldn't be seen as meaningless words, but really heartfelt words. We are giving our hearts up to Almighty God in worship, and therefore in love. The heart, for the Jewish people, was very synonymous or similar to our Greco-Roman idea of the soul. So for the Jewish people, the heart was the core of the person. The heart was the center of all emotion, especially love. Throughout the Psalms, we read how God speaks to us within our hearts, or that God knows us in the depths of our hearts. So the heart was always seen as this core of the individual. Therefore, it was also seen as the moral personality, like the conscience of a person. So a pure heart was one in which a person was in tune with God's truth through his intellect, but then also through his will, chose to do that truth, to enact the truth, to do the good. So the heart, therefore, is core to the Jewish idea of the person. For good reason, then, in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." They'll see God now, but hopefully one day see God face to face in heaven. So with that in mind, Jesus confronts the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees object to the disciples' lack of this ritual washing. The problem was that the scribes and the Pharisees were so concerned with these exterior actions governed by the law, they forgot the disposition of their own heart. So our Lord, quoting from the prophet Isaiah, says, "Here you pay me lip service, but your heart is far from me." So these Pharisees, remember, already have been called hypocrites by our Lord, a brood of vipers, whitened sepulchres. Already in the gospel we've read how they've been plotting to destroy Jesus. So here they're worried about all these external things to keep oneself pure externally. They aren't worried about the heart. And Jesus says it's from within that come the evil desires, like the greed, the blasphemy, deceit, and so on. So my brothers and sisters, the challenge for us then is we have to make sure our heart is pure. We can't be Christians on Sunday and pagans every other day of the week. We can't be angels here at Mass and devils at home or the workplace. No, we're called to be pure of heart. But that is a real challenge. It is something that is a constant struggle because, after all, even though we've been baptized, we're still the wounded victims of original sin. We wrestle with what we call concupiscence, meaning that darkening of the intellect, where so oftentimes we choose to ignore the truth or choose not to even pursue the truth, but just give in to what might just be popular or what we think feels good. We also have that weakened will, where we know what is the good to do, but oftentimes we choose to do what isn't the good. There's this inclination even towards sin. For example, tomorrow is one of the most wonderful days of the year for you parents. The kids go back to school. So, how many children, when they come home from school, will say, "Oh, I have to do my homework right away"? Now, that would be the good thing to do. Instead, poor little weak human beings, due to original sin that we are, kids will say, "Oh, I'll just do it later, watch video games, text my friends," whatever it may be. There's a simple way of looking at the struggle. So you and I have to constantly be striving to purify our hearts, our souls. One way is to love what is true. God is truth, and God has made his truth known. God's truth is freeing, liberating. God's truth gives us our identity, our dignity as a human being. So in our first passage, we hear of how Moses is preparing to lead the people into the promised land. They've been freed from slavery in Egypt. The covenant has been renewed at Mount Sinai. The commandments have been given. But notice what Moses says. He says, look, live by the laws of God. Live by God's truth. The truth helps us to remain free. And so obey the commandments. You and I should take that to heart. The commandments are the commandments, not the 10 suggestions. God gave us the commandments to help us know the right path and live in His love. For instance, if a person breaks the 8th commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness, person tells a lie. That doesn't free a person. A person has to remember that lie, and most likely, eventually, a person gets caught and then becomes the liar. A person becomes a slave to that sin. Or, sadly, this past spring sometime, one of our teenagers said to me, oh, Father, my teacher at Potomac Falls said, cheating's okay unless you get caught. Couldn't believe that one, especially since I'm a taxpayer. But when you think of it, the child who cheats can't really take credit for what he's received as a grade. He hasn't learned something. He's enslaving himself. And once he gets caught, he becomes the cheater. Or think of how many people from this whole Ashley Madison scandal are really slaves now. Yes, they were slaves before, but now that all the truth is in the open, has this sin brought them to a better place? Not at all. So, the commandments are God's way of showing us the right path of life. They are freeing. They are liberating. They allow us to live in the love of God. A good challenge for all of you as you go home today after Mass is, see who can recite the 10 commandments, 1 through 10, in order, and maybe talk about them. But that should be something we do at least weekly, if not daily, as we examine our lives. Of course, for us, it has even better meaning because Jesus, true God who became true man, as St. James said, is the word of truth. We look to Jesus, who came to fulfill the commandments. By his teaching, as well as his very example, Christ has shown us how to be pure of heart. And the church continues to teach the truth, all because we want to live with our heart united to our Lord. Yes, we may be inclined to give in to what might be popular, might be inclined to give in the public opinion polls or what the talking heads are saying on the media and so on. But if we really examine all that, anything that deviates from God's truth, teachings of the church, will eventually enslave us and ultimately destroy us. Actually, the word evil in the Greek is diabolos, from which we receive diabolical in English. But its root meaning is to break apart. Sin, evil, breaks us apart. So living in love with God's truth brings us a pure heart and brings us into union with God. So again, be sure as part of your spiritual prayer life that you take the time to read sacred scripture each day. Know the word of God. Read the catechism. Read the teachings of the church, because that is the right path that brings freedom and dignity. The second way we purify our hearts is to strive to gain self-mastery, to have a moral rectitude. After all, being the victims of original sin, we are wounded. You and I, all of us here, deal with some kind of a human weakness, and those passions have to be brought under control. Sometimes that's difficult because all of us seek comfort at times, especially when overstressed, overburdened. Too often, though, that comfort comes from giving into these passions. So a person who might be inclined to find comfort through imbibing too much in the alcohol or overeating and so on has to purify himself by abstaining, by making sacrifices, limiting the intake. A person who is inclined to anger and just erupts at times has to purify himself by starting with counting to 10 before speaking, or as Jefferson said, count to 100 before speaking if the first doesn't work, or if the person is prone then to bad language. The person has to purify himself, as St. Ignatius Loyola said, by pausing right away, recognizing the bad word, expressing sorrow to God, and then moving forward. A person who's inclined to find comfort by just turning to the media, just spending hours on Facebook and so on, just removing oneself from one's obligations, but with that, not doing one's responsibilities, needs to set a limit. That's part of purification. But a person who looks for comfort, maybe by going to those inappropriate websites, has to be very careful, because that truly is something that enslaves. So begin before going on the internet with a prayer. Have a picture of the family or a holy card there. Avoid the internet when it's late at night, when tired. Also, when truly overwhelmed with feelings, as the saints would say, flee. Flee from the temptation. St. Francis of Assisi, once so filled with lustful thoughts, threw himself in a rose bush. Well, that will distract you. That will break the temptation. But it's part of purification. When we think of that, recognizing those weaknesses that we have and recognizing that's where the devil will tempt us to find comfort, we need to purify ourselves through sacrifice, abstinence, discipline. The last way that we purify our hearts is through good works, being charitable. St. James reminds us of caring for those who are the most forgotten, like the widows, the orphans. We should be mindful of those little inspirations that help us to do good and to act upon them. In the age of the selfie, we can always become so absorbed with ourself, our routine, our agenda, even our responsibilities, that we forget about others. But it's really in those acts of charity that we find the love of Christ, and we receive tremendous love also. For instance, this past Monday on my day off, I was taking my mom to a couple of doctor's appointments, but in the afternoon we had the foot doctor, Joy. So, driving down Greeley Boulevard, I noticed there are these two little kids, maybe about 10 years old, with a little lemonade stand, and they're waving, trying to get me to stop and so on, and I knew we had to get to Alexandria to go to the foot doctor. But as I passed by there, I thought, you wretch, you should have stopped. Well, after the foot doctor came back, little kids are still there, they're waving their hands, and I thought, well, I said to my mom, we're going to stop and buy some lemonade. She said, I don't want it. And I said, too bad, we're stopping. So, anyway, so stopped. And they were raising money for Alzheimer's, so I gave them the extra donation and the two lemonades plus two Oreos, which I got to eat. So, but it made me feel tremendously good. Now, the temptation was to drive by, get on with life, on to the next task. But by pausing for that, I felt tremendously good because, as St. Francis of Assisi said, it's in giving that we receive. Give through charitable works, we will receive so much more. So, my brothers and sisters, we take to heart what our Lord said, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. But that purity of heart takes purification, which is ongoing. Love the truth. Strive for a mastery of self, that moral rectitude. Look for the opportunities to do charitable works. Guaranteed, God's grace will be at work, and we will grow in a love whereby we do see our Lord better now in our lives, but God willing, a love which we'll see fulfilled in the next life when we behold our Lord face to face. May God bless you.